Our second reading today comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Lord, we thank you for gathering us here together. May your word speak to us today. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our Redeemer and Creator. Amen. Tom Petty, I don't know if you all know who Tom Petty is, but Tom Petty was a rock star. And Tom Petty's song, It's Good to Be King, is a pretty catchy tune. On his 1994 album titled Wildflowers, the song, It's Good to Be King, captures our very human desire to be in charge and in control of our world and what we think or dream it would mean if we truly were in control. With the first line of the first verse, Petty sings, it's good to be king if just for a while. And to bridge the first to the second verse, Petty sings, yeah, the world would swing, oh, if I were king. Can I help it if I still dream from time to time? He begins the second verse singing, it's good to be king and have your own way. And he begins the third and final verse, it's good to be king and have your own world. But between each of the verses, Petty sings a couple of lines which make it clear that even though the verses he's singing sound like he is describing his life, he's not. He's describing a recurring daydream. And really, that's what it is. Petty, in his song, describes our want to be in charge, if only for a while, in which we get to have our own way and get our own world, a world in which we get to tell everyone what to do. Even if we know it's only a daydream, a dangerous daydream at that. Christ the King Sunday is the last Sunday of the liturgical year. Next Sunday, Advent begins, as does our wait for the Christ child, the Word of God made flesh, Jesus of Nazareth to be born of Mary, swaddled with clothes and laid in a manger. With Christmas Day, the season of Christmas begins, and it ends on January 6th, the Feast of Epiphany, which is the day we celebrate the three wise men coming. And after that, we have the baptism of Christ Sunday, which begins the time after Epiphany. And before we know it, we're at Ash Wednesday and the season of Lent, and we're approaching Jerusalem, and we're approaching the cross, and then comes Holy Week and the Passion of Christ, culminating on Good Friday and Holy Saturday, and then on Easter Sunday, the Alleluias return. And the purples of Lent and the black of Good Friday and Holy Saturday give way to the white and the gold of Easter. The season of Easter ends with the Sunday after the Ascension of the Lord and the Sunday that is after Pentecost. And after Pentecost, we enter a long stretch of gentle green and the day-to-day, Sunday-to-Sunday rhythms of ordinary time, which continues more or less with a couple of special Sundays here or there until today, Christ the King Sunday. Christ the King Sunday is the Sunday that we set aside to remind ourselves what it means to proclaim that Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, ruler over all nations. It is a Sunday that we remind ourselves of the tension that exists between the truth that the crucified and risen Christ is King and that we and all of creation belong to the one who is crucified, dead, and buried, and rose again, and we belong to Him alone, while we still have our desires to be the rulers of our own lives and the rulers of the lives around us. It is a tension and a contradiction that we often resolve not by surrendering to the cross and to our risen Lord, but by ignoring the truth of the cross and by transforming the crucified, risen, and ascended Christ into a King who proves us right. A King who agrees with our opinions and blesses our actions. A King who gives us power and authority to rule over others. A King who blesses our desire to amass wealth and power. A King who wants us to conquer the world and make an earthly kingdom for Him. Even though that is the very Messiahship and kingdom He never sought and expressly renounced throughout His ministry on earth, and renounced it on a cross. When we turn away from the truth of the cross, we transform Christ Jesus into a King that we want to belong to, a King who gives us power and authority and seeks through us an earthly kingdom. And our history testifies to what happens when we do this. The Crusades happen. The relentless persecution of the Jewish people happens. The Inquisition happens. The witch trials of Salem happen. The use of Scripture to justify the enslavement of our fellow humans happens. The use of Scripture to justify the segregation of people happens. You see, each and every time we justify our quest for power and authority over others in the name of Jesus Christ, the results are anything but godly. For the truth of the cross is this, that God loves. God loved, and God will love us so much that God, through the Son, became fully human, knowing that the Son of God would be killed in an attempt to preserve and solidify a human kingdom and its power and authority. Nonetheless, the Creator of the universe chose to be born, to live, to preach, to teach, to be betrayed, to be crucified, to die, to be buried into a very human death. God became human not to conquer, but to save. Through Jesus Christ, God, through the Son, emptied God's own self and became human, not to found a human kingdom or empire, but to reveal God's own self and God's love for us, even though God knew that to do so would result in death upon a cross. The sovereignty and kingship of Christ Jesus is not one of conquering armies, or fear tactics, or threats of punishment, or of winning arguments, or even of defending God. Because I can assure you, God is more than able to defend God. The sovereignty and kingship of Christ Jesus is to declare that Christ Jesus, the only Son of God, is a king and sovereign whose dominion and glory are not armies, not power, not wealth, not honor or greatness, but grace, but mercy, but peace, patience, and love. Christ the King is the King who died so that we might be free from the powers of sin and death. And to be free from the powers of sin and death is a divine gift of sheer grace. It is the sheer grace that frees us from having to prove our worth to God. It is the sheer grace that frees us from having to prove that we are better or more righteous than others. It's the sheer grace that frees us from having to be certain or to live without acknowledging our doubts. It's the sheer grace that gives us the freedom and the permission to lose, to fail, to mess up. This gift of sheer grace frees us to confess our errors, to confess our mistakes, our sins, and our destructive ways. This gift of sheer grace is the grace of forgiveness, and it is the power of the Holy Spirit in which we are given freedom to turn from our ways and towards our God without having to justify ourselves or having to judge or condemn others in an attempt to make ourselves look better than we are. And we, all of us, all of humankind and all of creation, have this gift of grace because Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the ruler over all nations. To declare that Christ is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the ruler of all nations, is to declare that all of creation belongs to God, and that all of humankind, every tribe, every nation, every ethnicity, belongs to God. And that they are all precious in God's sight, and that we're not called to conquer, or to rule, or to have our own way. To declare that Christ is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the ruler of all nations, is to declare that the ones we see as enemies, those people that we struggle to forgive, the ones that we hate, the ones that though we fear, the ones we do not understand and we see as threats, are subject to God, not us, and that they belong to God and are precious in God's sight, and that we are not called to make or have our own world. To declare that Christ is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the ruler of all nations is to declare that all of humankind and all of creation are our neighbors. That there are no divine borders, there are no divine boundaries, and therefore the command to love our neighbors as ourselves has no boundaries, it has no borders, and it has no limits. To declare that Christ is King is to declare that there is nowhere that God is not. And that there is no one and not one thing that falls outside of God's protection and God's governance. For God is the God of all. And if God truly is, as Scripture testifies to and Jesus Christ reveals, the God whose very acts are acts of love and goodness, then to proclaim that Christ is King is to proclaim that God is not seeking our destruction or the destruction of our enemies, but that through Jesus Christ, God is reconciling us and all of humankind to God. God is reconciling us. To declare that Christ is King is to declare that we are subjects of a King whose kingdom is not ruled by death, but is ruled by life. It is a kingdom in which we are not called to hate, but to love. not to hurt, but to heal, not to reign, but to serve, not to hoard, but to give, not to judge and condemn, but to forgive. Through our Lord and Savior and the power of the Holy Spirit, this is a kingdom in which we are made not to be rulers who get our own way and make our own world, but we are made and called to be subjects of a king whose kingdom and whose kingship is not a daydream, but it is a reality. It is a reality of a kingship and a king whose kingdom is sheer, unimaginable, incomprehensible grace, mercy, and love for all. And thanks be to God for that. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.